Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and today we're going to look into the future. We're going to look into our crystal ball and tell the vision. Tell the vision. That didn't work so well. We're talking about television.
You tried. I appreciate the attempts and the effort, you know?
Sometimes I have something set up that I'll say beforehand, like, oh, I know what trail I can take us down. And this time, which probably happens half the time, I don't have anything planned. I'm like, oh, shit, I have to say something semi-clever. And usually that's what happens.
Panic sets in, and then we end up in this place.
If you could see me in the video, I'm just bug-eyed as I, like, rack my brain for something to say.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, yes, we are talking television today.
Everyone's favorite Donda song.
Yeah, this is the one that gets the most flack on the album. I think of the three songs that I see get brought up the most that people have problems with, it's Television, Remote Control, and Junya.
Really?
And yeah, I think those are the three that end up getting talked about. In the least glowing terms overall, though I think people like Junya was definitely like polarizing,
right?
I think was maybe more, and you had people that loved it, thought it was like a jam, and then other people that thought it was just like a little too repetitive and simplistic, which was the side of the fence I was on initially. I think I've kind of come to a middle ground where I'm like, I would like more out of it, but I kind of get like the vibe and the beat that people really love from it. And then Remote Control is another one that I thought was like kind of boring at first, and I've come around on is like liking more, though our episode on it didn't like make me do somersaults in the way that it had me do for some of the other songs we talked about.
Yeah, I get not liking Remote Control. I could see that being a polarizing song because it is kind of a fun, goofy pop song. I gotta say though, Television, this is a moment I really separate from the Kanye community, because I see people talk about this song a lot. Like, it's almost resoundedly hated on by the Kanye community. Like, oh, Donda's great except for the shitty song Television, which, like, it's not even really a full song. It's more of, like, an interlude. Yeah. And I would say, like, a pretty important interlude if you're looking at like the scope of the album and just this whole idea that Pop Smoke died from gun violence, which has been a prominent part of this album, and so many people Pop Smoke worked with are featured on this album, and the album is about Kanye dealing with coping with not having his mom here on Earth and like trying to communicate with her through the space. Like, to me, everything Television is set up to be incredibly meaningful in this album. Yet the problem people seem to have with it is that it has terrible production. But I guess we'll get into the production of it. But I think to completely miss why the song is produced the way it is, it almost seems like people are just being purposely ignorant. Like, a song's not allowed to sound this shitty. So like, we can't find any reason to like it. And I just can't wrap my mind around why people hate this song so much. It's bizarre to me.
Like, I get both. Like, I get what you're saying, but I also get that some people just want the aesthetic, right? They just want it to sound good. They're not caring about like deeper meanings, implications, anything like that. It's just like, does it sound good? Is it a vibe? Is it something when it throws on I'm excited about? And I could see just from that basic like binary test, people being like yes or no, being like no, and kind of getting a little upset, especially when you had the Pop Smoke version of the song that was on his album Faith, where you get like these full verses, the vocals sound up front and clear. It feels like it's this full song. It was almost kind of like the reverse on that song as Ye was featured on it. And you just have Kanye in the intro doing like tripping, wildin' on television. You could still see a guy tell the vision, pimpin' boy, these boys pimpin', different, these boys, boys. And that's it. And you had people being like, what a bad, like, why just have like a 5 second Kanye feature on the song? Why even have him on the song? And there was a lot of like frustration from just Kanye's appearance on the Pop Smoke version. And now you have Kanye's version with Pop Smoke on it and all these people are upset about it. But I think when you have the song From Faith, you're expecting maybe a little bit more of a full song. The production on this, even if like meaningful and intentional, can just be like not as endearing to people. So I get why people would just be like, ah, I don't care what it's doing, it just doesn't sound good to me, and for that reason alone, like, bad.
I guess, yeah, I guess anybody cannot like the sound of anything. I think it sounds cool. It sounds different and weird and experimental to me, which is like a lot of what people like about, like, in the hip-hop community, like Playboi Carti and just a lot of, I think a lot of Kanye stuff. It sounds so like strange and ethereal. Yeah, I guess, I mean, you're right. if resoundedly people say it sounds shitty, like, I guess it just sounds shitty to people. But yeah, okay. I don't want to go after people anymore. I just think it's, I guess maybe it all, that's all it is I like the sound of it. Like, and of course, obviously we're looking for the deeper intentions of a song. So like, to me, it's just like a win-win. Like, it all is, it's very cohesive to me.
When I feel how you feel, and I think you feel how I feel. I think we both feel this way about Jesus is Lord.
We feel
right?
each other.
You feel me, I feel you. It's confusing. But
we're not
Jesus
afraid to
is
say
Lord.
It.
No. Jesus is Lord is another song where, like, what is that? Like a minute 24 seconds kind of thing? And I love Jesus is Lord. I think the way that it starts building the atmosphere through all the brass instruments that it's using, you get Kanye just kind of repeating the same like lines, but it's building. There's this building energy, and just as it's about to crescendo, it cuts off. And I think that's the point. You're getting this implication, this feeling that like the Spirit of God is about to come down. And you're about to get this orchestra, the angels like blaring out and being like, oh, but then the song just cuts. And I think the implications of that are so cool. And I love it every time it comes on, but people almost universally say it's the worst song on Jesus is King. Why even have it? It should be cut, like yada yada. And I'm just like, what, how don't you love that? How don't you like that? And I think Tell the Vision, it's a similar thing where you're right, the production is really cool. There's something about that like dun 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 that's very unique. You're ready for the song to go places. So maybe part of the frustrations that people have, whether they know it or not, is like Jesus is Lord, because there's so much potential that gets truncated,
right?
You just have some people that become frustrated by the song and just start rejecting it outright.
Right. I mean, that's fine. I guess that is part of it, is, you know, Pop Smoke died and we have all these posthumous releases from him, and Television was really hyped up, especially after, you know, the song existed with Kanye and Pusha T, and now we're getting a version of it on Kanye's album. Like, what's he going to do with it? And it could seem underwhelming what he did with it, but gosh, it's almost like, I almost wonder if this song honors Pop Smoke a little more because it's just him. It's the only track on the album that's like, there's no Kanye on it. We're just listening to Pop Smoke. I think it's cool.
Yeah, and that, I think, gets into the value of the song, as you're starting to get at, like, all the ways in which the song ties in to the main themes. Pop Smoke was in Los Angeles, staying in a house out there, filming a music video, I believe it was, or, like, making some music out there, and apparently was warned by some people that something was going on. He ended up tweeting a photo out that maybe had the address of the place he was staying, and then sure enough, late one night, these guys leapt the fence, came through, and started robbing the place. And apparently, at some point, Pop Smoke fought back, and that resulted in one of the robbers shooting him. And it's just such a sad story, given the point at which Pop Smoke was in his career. He was blowing up. He was becoming one of the biggest music artists in the world at that point, with everybody like so excited about his first album. The response to it was great. And then this happens. It just makes you think back to Jonah, right? And you hear not just what Vori talks about and saying, like, these people who were around me as I was growing up, and now there's this violence still going on back in the streets, but I'm far away from that. But what Little Dirk talks about, where it's like, you know, we were like making it and this stuff was still happening to us. Like, just because you have found success in music doesn't mean that you still can't get like caught up in all of this stuff. And I mean, we're just a day removed from Young Dolph being shot in Atlanta and killed. And it's just someone else that's in the community having this fate come about. And you think about Conway the Machine's verse, where he talks about getting shot and surviving. It's just such a motif on this album. And yet that sadness is often balanced by the spirituality, by the hope, by the faith. And this is an album, as you were saying, that is making a connection to Donda, like Kanye's late mom, and finding comfort in her presence, in the presence that he feels to this day, like honoring her, feeling that connection to her. The last song is No Child Left Behind, which has these implications of, you know, even if your mom has passed away, like, you're not left behind. Like, there's still a connection to be made through God, through faith. There's such a, these two ideas of loss and faith are so enmeshed in a way of faith comforting loss, and loss not being the end of the relationship that you have with a person. And to have it be Donda as a focal point on this album, which is so personal to Kanye, right? And which a lot of people can relate to that. But then to have a figure like Pop Smoke, who a lot of artists and people in the industry, and that's something that Ye often does, he talks about things specific to him, but then also extrapolates out to the industry itself. Like Family Business, one of Kanye's earliest songs, we talk about how people often read that song as just about Kanye and Kanye's like personal family and stories, but most of the stories, did it actually happen to him? And that the song actually ends up being kind of a metaphor for him joining the hip hop family and becoming part of that community, how you behave in that community, how you like follow the rules and guidelines and support each other and all of that. So I think it's meaningful that Kanye tries to like honor Pop Smoke, not just as someone that probably was looking to Pop Smoke as a future artist to watch, admire, like work with, but also as holding up Pop Smoke as someone that other people in the industry, these other young artists, like look to or inspire by. And he becomes kind of a figure for them to relate to, the same way that Donda is a figure for Ye to relate to. So it's just another album where Ye ends up meshing together what he's going through personally with what he's going through in his career, and then allowing people to kind of have the connections to both of those things, right? You have this figure you can relate to when it comes to your personal life, and a figure you can relate to when it comes to just role models and having television, I think, is very meaningful on this album and carries a lot of an emotional weight that I think this is the thing that was bothering you. Not a lot of people are giving it the credit it deserves. And just even if you want to ignore all of that, like emotional, like thematic stuff, it just, at the end of the day, like having Pop Smoke being featured on a Ye album that's going to do numbers is going to do wonders for Pop Smoke's family and estate, for like years to come, right? So even if you don't like the song, the point of it isn't to necessarily like the song, but it's like practically doing something for like Pop Smoke's family as it's continuing to like give them money.
I do like the song, but anyway.
Right.
I mean, all that, I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head. This is such a climactic song in a way, because like we said, people who have worked with Pop Smoke, like Fivio, Lil Baby, DaBaby, like they're all on this album and speaking, and the people, younger rappers on this album, are speaking about gun violence and how you can feel trapped in the community, how you can feel like the world's against you, like there are all these things that can remove you from the industry, from this earth. Like it can feel daunting, and talking about it becomes the way you power yourself through it. And talking about it on an album like Donda, you know, it's a hip hop album, and that's what I love about Tell the Vision. Like it carries that aesthetic, like it becomes part of the album experience in that way, where it's showing the power music and art can have. We're taking this person who died from gun violence, this topic so many people are speaking on in this album, and suddenly we're hearing Pop Smoke's voice. Like we're hearing it through this weird filter where like the production of the song is really crisp and clear and kind of menacing, like it has a cool feel, and then Pop Smoke comes through and sounds distorted and echoey. I hate to say like it's him calling from beyond the grave. I don't think you have to read it that specifically, but just like the aesthetic, I think, is what's important. Like there's a reason he sounds that way. There's a reason he's not fully there. And it becomes this way of showing how you can live on, even though you're not here, even though we can't hear you sing the song anymore. Your legacy carries on. You know, I feel like that's another huge part of this album we keep coming back to, is the generational effect you can have on people. How your legacy doesn't end when you die. The whatever mission you're on, whatever you're pushing for, it carries through the next life, whoever you've inspired next. And I feel like everything you're saying is getting back to this idea that like that's why Pop Smoke is here. That's why we're hearing his voice. It's meant to show. It's part of this journey Kanye's on, but also part of this journey, larger journey he's trying to reflect about the community, about society, about God, how tough it is to keep going and like try to do better and create change. This is mixed up all in that. And he honors Pop Smoke by just keeping only him on the song. You know, the actual original verse, he's not worried about, although he does clip out a couple lines, but for the most part, he's like just leaving in Pop Smoke's lines, and it's his song, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. I think all of that is really what makes the song emotional to me and meaningful to me. And just looking at it as this nice moment, especially as we're like following up on everything with just the title, right? Like Tell the Vision, let people know like what's going on. This idea of like, we made it. There's something not just aspirational and inspirational about this, but like foundational in the sense of like, you want to reach this point and you can reach this point. And we keep talking about all the artists that we've heard that are like young up and coming artists that are trying to like feel like we made it, not like we just didn't make it in our careers, but we made it out of the life that we could have had. Like we're taking steps forward, and is it this great? And there's something very powerful about that message, and especially under the title of Tell the Vision. Like this is Pop Smoke sharing the vision. This is Pop Smoke saying like this is what it can be. And that just feels very, I think, important to Ye, which is why he would have kept it on here.
Right.
And motivational. And I could imagine, but to the point that we were making about, you know, this kind of being in line with the same idea of having Donda appear on the album. You think about the version of Life of the Party that ended up being on the deluxe, and that it has DMX at the end of it, and that you hear DMX talking to his daughter, and it's just very much like this emotional moment because knowing that we lost DMX recently, and during the funeral service, the emphasis that was put on DMX's kids and the fact that he was this father that was trying to get his life together, but having these struggles, but still like making more and more progress as the years went by. So now you have DMX, Donda, and Pop Smoke on the album. It's just starting to fit into what we're talking about that idea of, and as you said, the legacy continuing on, the presence continuing on. And one of the things that I ended up being like pretty pedantic about and is interesting, we were talking about it ahead of time, is that when you hear the original version of We Made It, which was just a demo that featured Cowboy, that came out in July 22nd of 2020, which that's the first YouTube posting I can find for it. But Kanye had initially posted that Tell the Vision was going to be on Donda like July 15th or 17th of 2020. So it seems like they had this feature recorded sometime before Pop Smoke passed away, and Ye was going to use it even on the earliest version of the Donda track list. And when you hear that demo, Pop Smoke's vocals are kind of like just, there's a little bit of an echo to them. Like his voice kind of has that extra heft and emphasis to it, but it's very much like matching the echo.
Look, nigga, we made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank God that I made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look, I remember the days. Saint fit 4 weeks straight.
And then when you hear the version of We Made It on, or Tell the Vision on Faith, the echo is like a layer down, and Pop Smoke's vocals are a layer up. They sound very clear, but you can still kind of hear that extra bass in his voice.
Look, nigga, we made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Nigga, we made it. Thank God that I made it. Nigga, we made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look.
And then on the television version we get on Donda, that echo is a layer up and Pop Smoke's vocals are a layer down.
We made it. We made it, we made it. We made it. Thank God that I made it. We made it, we made it. Look, mama, I made it. Look, I remember the days.
Which gets at the weird production aspect that some people have an issue with. It gets to the idea that you were talking about, that there's something that makes it feel a little more spiritual, like that there's a degree of separation between us and Pop Smoke's voice that might be getting at this. It might have that implication, right? Or that intention to it. Since we do have other versions of the vocals that don't have it as layered down.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that like they sound so different on all three of those versions, it's again, I mean, I don't sitting here just complaining about people's taste. That's stupid. But like, I wish people would just, I mean, think a little bit about the fact that like, there's a reason it sounds that way. It doesn't matter if you can hear the hi-hats. Like, it's all these little things we can nitpick about the song, I think really reduce the meaning of the song and take away from why it's here. And I mean, it's just such an important song, especially thinking that it's called Tell the Vision and you have Kanye on the original song saying tripping, wilding on television. You could tell that, you could see that a guy had Tell the Vision. The pimping these boys, pimping different these boys. This idea that like you're different, like you're going for something bigger than yourself. Like you're looking to create something monumental that has like everlasting change, that is going to build your legacy. And Kanye can look at somebody who's on that level like him and he sees it. He's like, this guy's different. And that's what he's saying about Pop Smoke. Pop Smoke had like crazy work ethic. Like he was rising up fast in the industry. He had a unique sound. He just represented, I think, everything Kanye looks for in somebody who, like, in the music industry or just in general, somebody who's looking to make an impact like Pop Smoke was. So to bring that to tell the vision to Donda, to honor him in that way, to not call it "we made it," but tell the vision that Kanye sees something more in this person, so much so that he's going to get his own song in the album. It's a like really awesome and sweet, but also just it perfectly plays into the theme of the album of communicating with someone from beyond that when you die, only your physical body dies, like your spirit doesn't die. So that's how you should read the song. It's very spiritual. And yeah, I'm not going to complain. Travis, don't complain about people. It's spiritual. Just say that and go on.
Well, it's not that you're complaining about people. It's that you fervently wish that people would have a stronger understanding or appreciation for what the song does. Yeah. And it's just like, before complaining, like, think about it and at least consider these other aspects of it before just saying it's a bad song.
Yeah,
one thing that I didn't realize until now, I was just kind of like scrolling mm-hmm. down and looked at the interpolate section. And this kind of, I think we missed this given all the stuff that was going around the Donda like hype. But apparently on August 6th, shortly after the second Donda listening event, the Tell the Vision demo leaked. And it's the original version of the song. And it has like a full verse by Kanye. Instead of ending with "different these boys difference," it continues on and has like a verse from 2 Chainz, a verse from Kanye with the Machine. I never knew that existed.
Yeah, but Kanye's verse, it's basically what he says, and it's just cut off at one point. There's a couple extra lines, but there isn't a whole lot more.
Oh no, I just never knew that like the full rest of the verse existed.
Oh right, yeah. So yeah, it's cool that Kanye the Machine's on there.
Yeah, it's just it makes me wonder because Pop Smoke's not on here, and it's just like, oh, was this like the original version before like Pop Smoke? Did Kanye like change it and give like Tell the Vision? Like, at what point did Pop Smoke become part of it, or did Ye always intend? And then,
Yeah, interesting.
But that's for another podcast that is the history of the song Tell the Vision, which will be premiering this winter.
Yep, it's going to be a mini series, 8 episodes.
Yeah, no. But it's curious. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more. Or if you, dear listener, know more details on that, please, by all means.
Tweet at us.
Yeah, send a tweet. But, all right, anything else before we start getting into the lyrics of this?
I don't think so. I mean, there aren't a lot of lyrics to look at, so let's do it.
No, it stars with, we made it, we made it, we made it. And it's an initial word that's censored out, like, guy, we made it, guy, we made it. And then Ye changed it on the deluxe to say, thank God we made it, which mm-hmm. is kind of funny. Just kind of taking the thank God that comes in from the chorus. Thank God that I made it, and kind of cutting and pasting it and making it flow with thank God we made it. So it doesn't have as much silence at the start, which I saw some people say that they liked that version better rather than having some of the awkward censoring silence.
It's funny though, like on this song in particular, you don't really notice that anything's being censored. I don't think it just sounds like he's saying we made it over and over. So it kind of works in that way.
Yeah. That's what I always thought. It was just like kind of like, oh yeah, it flows better on this song than some of the other songs. But we get like that repetition of "we made it," which starts to feel very much like celebration, the mantra. It's really driving that point home. Thank God that I made it. Look, mama, I made it, which on an album called Donda, having Pop Smoke say, look, mama, I made it, feels very emotional to me.
Yeah, for sure. That's a moment where, I mean, obviously it's not like intentional because it's not like Pop Smoke made this song and knew it'd be used on Donda someday. But it's a perfect aligning, like the stars align here where, you hear mama, you think Donda, but him saying I made it on an album where it's posthumous. He's not here anymore. This idea that I made it, you could have made it to heaven. Like, that's what it can also mean, where yeah. Donda is. And that's not something to necessarily cry about. Like, that's something to celebrate, that you've moved on. Like, your physical body isn't where things end. Like, you've made it to heaven and you still exist here on Earth. Your legacy exists. You're here in the song. You're on Donda, which is a giant album that people across the world are going to hear. And now he's up in heaven with Donda. Like, in that way, he's made it. I love that. It works so well for this album.
I have honestly never once thought about the duality of we made it being not just finding success on Earth, but like finding the transcendence into heaven. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, right? Makes you like it even more.
Which, I mean, that was something that Kanye kind of talked about on Jesus Lord, in terms of wondering about, like, can I make it up to you, right? Which is kind of the implication of Moon in some ways as well, and kind of the implication of No Child Left Behind. You think about Ye in the Drink Champs interview when he talks about being in, where was it? Belgium? And the officer pulled a gun on him, and he just thought, like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
And then said something about, like, you don't think I want to go see my mom? Like, that idea of, like, you could imagine that situation, him being like, well, I made it. Like, oh my goodness. Okay.
It's so something kind of, you're right. He has talked about it recently, but he's always associated that idea with his mom. Like, you think back, the only one, you know, you'll keep on rising till the sky knows your name. This is Donda. On that song, Donda is like speaking to Kanye, and this idea that, like, you rise here on Earth, like, kind of metaphorically, spiritually, like, you keep trying, you keep aspiring for more, and someday, like, that ends and you go up to heaven. Like, you just keep I love that idea that you're not afraid of death, because up there is something beautiful. Up there is your mom, and while you're here, you make the most of it and build your legacy, and I guess kind of make your case for going to heaven, that you're doing good, you're creating change for the good.
Which, I mean, we see kind of be the last arc of the album, right? Tell the Vision kind of kicks us off into the rest of this, where Ye is reaching this point of, like, giving up control on Lord, I Need You, like, feeling reborn on Pure Souls, and then having this, like, come to life emotional outpouring that's so cathartic, that then leads into No Child Left Behind, which definitely, like, you think back to the second listening party and that song being the point at which Kanye, in quotes, ascended up to heaven, which was the roof of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But that imagery was, like, really fitting. Huh.
Yeah, okay. Right. And you have the 24 music video where, you know, he's floating around in the sky and everything.
Yep. Wow. Okay. So we get that Look Mama, I Made It, which now is in contention for maybe one of the most, like, emotional lines in the entirety of the album. Look Mama, I made it. Yo, I remember the days, same thing 4 weeks straight. I used to eat 50 cent cake. Now it's for leaves. It's for leaves for the steak. Buy it, I don't care what it called. And I always keep a pull. I did 100 on a pro. If you drop in the wool, we come where you live. Glock 9 infrared. Pull up and empty the clip. Drag, strap on something. And the floor's moving reckless. You not play with me? Yeah, I keep it came with me. We made it. We made it. We made it. Thank God that I made it. And then we get the verse with Pop Smoke saying, look, I remember the days, same fit for a week straight. So just reminiscing about what life was like before, where you didn't have a lot of clothes, you didn't have a lot of options, so you're just wearing the same thing for a week straight. And that's followed up with, I used to eat 50 cent cake. Just like, this was all that I could afford. And now he says, now it's Philippe's. It's Philippe's for the steak, which... it seems to be a reference to a New York restaurant called Philippe Chow. And they have a nice filet mignon on the menu. It's filet mignon and sugar snaps for one. Or you can get it for two, and it comes with sauteed tenders with oyster sauce.
Sauteed tenders. Yeah, and it's only for the nice low price of $76. Oh, for two, it's $76. For 38? Two. Oh, shit, I might go to Philippe's.
Yeah.
I can afford that.
The house mignon is $45.
Oh, right. Oh, shit. So, well, I couldn't do that. So that's too much.
Take your name off the menu, Travis, or the reservation list. But the place looks nice.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker eats there.
Nice. Go Forrest. I saw that in a story. It's one of those things where you see like Philippe's for a steak, and we're just like, Philippe's, we got to do research. What's this menu?
Yeah.
Because it says it's a, whatchamacallit? Starts with a B.
What was it? Not Burmese.
No. I'm trying to think of the...
Beijing,
thank you. Yes. So Chinese cuisine, like Beijing style. And yet having steak, and I was just like, oh, I never thought of that. So the menu looks really good. Man, some of these pictures look really good. Okay.
Oh, shit. All right, we got to stop looking at that.
Yeah, we're going to do a live episode from Philippe's.
We're just chewing the whole time.
Yeah, so it goes to Philippe's for the steak, or maybe there's another Philippe's, and you know, but Philippe's for the steak.
You know, there is a place called Philippe's Steak that's in LA, so I would assume that's not it.
Oh, I mean, it could be. I mean, we think about it's, like Pop Smoke as like New York, like everything he's referencing is New York, but at the same time,
yeah. But it's also like it's a place you can get like a $10, you know, steak sandwich or something. Like it's more of like a homey kind of place. And I think he's getting at that he's eating like expensive steak instead of eating cake that costs 50 cents.
Okay. Oh, there's also Chez Philippe. Philippe Chevrier had always been fascinated by New York, opening a restaurant in the heart of Geneva in the purest tradition of the American steakhouse had always been a dream. And in 2015, this dream was realized in the most magnificent way. Located in the beautiful Passage des Lions, Chez Philippe offers a huge variety of meats on the grill.
What's the name of this place?
Chez Philippe Bar and Grill.
That's the name of the place?
Yes.
Is it in New York?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's in Memphis. Okay.
It's in Memphis? Okay.
That's what I'm seeing.
Nice. I'm not seeing anything on the website. Yeah. So could be anywhere. Or it could just be a made up place called Philippe's, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, their Instagram page is all in French.
Oh, no. Chris, you're going down a bad, dark rabbit hole. Don't do it.
Yeah, these photos look great. There's lobster. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, he goes to a fancy place for steak now. And he, like, buys it and doesn't care what it costs. And that's pretty awesome. Like, what a relief. I remember the days I brought this up before where I, like, used to worry about whether I could buy a bottle of water or not. I'd be like, oh, I'm really thirsty, but a bottle of water is like $2. I don't know if I like,
yeah,
I don't know if I like, how much is that going to like affect me? Oh man, I hate that.
Did I tell the story of when I went to the grocery store and I was going through and like, I had a cart full of stuff. I looked down at it at one point and like started adding up everything in my head, then thought about how much I had in my bank account. And realized I didn't have enough money.
Oh, no.
And just like left the cart there and walked out.
Oh, it's like
the saddest moment.
Wow. I did not know that. That's really
sad. I was
like,
sad. I can't even grocery shop. I have to get the bare necessities and I no longer can have this cart because I'm not going to go back through and like drop everything off. So I have to leave the store and come back like tomorrow or something.
Oh, that's really sad. That's brutal. Yeah. That's brutal. So yeah, being able to go to Philippe's for a steak feels good. And he says, and I always keep a pole, which pole is slang for a firearm a gun. I did 100 on a pro, which that's neither of us have any idea what it means, right?
I don't think anyone on Twitter knows what it means.
Yeah, we tried crowdsourcing our self-esteem a little bit to put it in context of St. Pablo, and nobody really had an answer for us. A lot of people were putting it into context as if like Kanye said it. So there were some people being like, oh, he spent 100 bands at the hospital on Yikes, if you remember. And I was like, I do remember that, but not necessarily applicable here. But I appreciate the callback. Wait, so where is this? I'm just checking it now. And we have 12 responses. Studying right. for television episode I see. Good luck. Thank you, Chase. Ketan saying on Yikes, he said he spent 100K on a hospital visit. Andre, it's a subtle nod to Highlights, where Ye wished his dick had GoPro. Don't think that's it. Something with GoPro, literally nothing. Yeah. Maybe he spent 100,000 on something, which like Lucas with the very level-headed response. Luca saying he did 100 push-ups on a GoPro, which kind of recalls cool. Ye doing all the push-ups before listening party two. We have Pra saying it means he used the 100 emoji on an iPhone Pro, which... we have Nimrod saying 100 sex tapes on the GoPro.
Yeah, I trust Nimrod, yeah.
We have Sam saying, just posting the image from the made-up article that says Kanye scores 106 points against wheelchair basketball team.
I like how everyone thinks somehow this line applies to Kanye. It's silly.
I know. I mean, I did it contextualize it with like television.
Yeah, right.
You know, you just kind of hope that everybody that's following you knows what you're talking about.
I assumed it was like I did 100, like 100 miles an hour, but I don't know. I don't know anything about cars, and so I don't know what a pro means. So
yeah, right. Like I did 100 on a pro. I mean, could be a bike. Like I was riding a bike and I did 100. Not like a bicycle, yeah. But a motorcycle.
That'd be impressive.
I mean, if somebody did 100 miles an hour on a bicycle, it's somehow one your of the most impressive and lamest things I've ever heard. Yeah. Your legs would just snap at the hips.
Yeah.
Man said, I'm thinking 100 miles an hour on Prozac, but I don't know. I mean, that could be. I did 100 on a pro. Like, I took a Prozac and then I did 100, but I don't know if, like, with taking a Prozac... be an impressive thing to do than drive.
Brag about on a song.
Yeah. And then we have Bezos sharing a Beyonce tweet that they made. There's just a video of Beyonce crying. I don't think that's a place.
All right, I'll splice that video in here on the episode.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, we didn't quite get... Oh my goodness.
I mean, it doesn't have an annotation on Genius either, so nobody seems to know what it means.
I made a tweet about like the distorted effect of Pop's vocals and just asking if anybody like Genius has something about it like trying to represent an electronic voice phenomenon. And I was like, does anybody have any like source that validates them making this claim that it's supposed to represent an EVP? And one person responded with, do you seriously not know it's an a cappella from the song Tell the Vision? Like, like,
oh,
I did not know that. Like, that's not what I'm asking. That's not.
That is funny. It's in the about section on the Genius page of the song that like it includes that electronic voice phenomenon, which I think in the about section, that is a place purely for facts, like things we know about this song, like context for this song. And the electronic voice phenomenon thing is that's completely subjective. Like you could think he's doing that, but like unless Kanye said that's what they're doing, that belongs in the annotation section where people can upvote it and downvote it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too different than what we were saying in terms of like, you know, it may be produced in such a way to make it feel like there's that degree of separation between us and Pop Smoke, since Pop Smoke has passed and it's this aesthetic choice. But that's very different from saying that it was absolutely distorted in a way to simulate an electronic voice phenomenon. That's just like, okay.
Interested.
It's much more coming in with much more authority on the topic without any source material necessarily to back it up. Anyway.
And that's what gets to Chris right there. He wants to be an authority on it.
Yes.
I wasn't trying to make a joke. I was just telling the truth.
No, you were. I'm still a little bothered by the person being like, did you not know that it's an acapella from it's okay,
move on.
Deep breath. All right. I did 100 on a pro. If you drop in a woo, we come where you live. Glock 9 infrared, which like Pop Smoke was associated with, like, woo was his thing, right? So I guess I don't know enough. Right? Yes.
Yeah, him and Fivio were part of the woos. So like, if you drop in a woo, if you kill one of us, like, we come where you live with a Glock 9.
Oh, wow. I feel so dumb. I read dropping a woo like, oh, if you're just like saying woo, like, we come where you live, Glock 9. I was like, but is it that, like, aren't you like encouraging people to woo? What? Woo. Like,
oh, you just think of Ric Flair. That's your problem. And that's not your fault. Ric Flair is just present in everything you do.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of Ric Flair. Good old Sting. Sting would also do like a woo. But what, like, an innocent, like,
if you drop in a woo,
yes,
give me a woo.
Feel so okay, but you drop in a woo, like, if you're like taking out one of our own, then we're going to make it our mission to come after you with a Glock 9 and infrared, pull up and empty the clip. Dread had the strap all summer. In the Floss, Moving Reckless, I should have looked up Dread.
Yeah, that was one, actually. I read it and it was like, I don't know why I didn't look up what that means.
Yeah, I feel a little out of the loop.
All right,
on that
we're
one.
We're boomers, okay?
Okay. Pop Smoke has a song called Defiant featuring Dread Woo. So Dread Woo is someone else from the woos, but
okay. And strap means gun, so it's just continuing that thought.
Yes,
here we go.
Like, we are a little out of the loop, but we're not that out of the loop to not know strap,
but pretty out of the loop.
But yeah, it's I'm not familiar with all of the woos, so sorry Dread Woo, sorry to those of you listening that are just like, these guys,
like, we didn't know what the next line meant either until we looked it up.
Yeah, we don't know all the nicknames of all the Brooklyn areas, but in the Floss, Moving Reckless, I'm guessing there's going to be people that are like, if you listen to enough like Pop Smoke stuff or like Brooklyn hip hop, you'll know what the Floss is. She's like, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true. But yeah, Canarsie is an area of Brooklyn and it's nicknamed the Flossy. So this is the
and that's
the
where Pop Smoke was born.
So it's just saying, like, Dread had the strap all summer and it was in the Floss, Moving Reckless. So just like in our place, right? Canarsie and just Moving Reckless, doing his thing, like getting into some trouble, like bringing some smoke. And then Do Not Play With Me, I Keep a K With Me, which AK, just another like,
yeah,
weapon,
right?
Maybe not an AK, but a weapon.
Maybe
it's a Glock shortage. Oh, this is the part. This is the part where it's just like brutal, right? Just brutal. We have so much insight at times, but then we get in specific moments like this, and it's just like, man, you guys. But yes,
yeah.
What essentially we have here is just at the end, you know, Pop Smoke talking a little bit about his life and lifestyle and some of the drama that he was still caught up in with, like, the streets and where he came from, which
that's an important part of this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's in line with things that we had talked about from like Little Dirk's verse, from what was it, Keep My Spirit Alive, when we were talking about the verse from West Side Gun, and still kind of having like being caught up in some of the like tit for tat aspects and still being like involved in street stuff, and how you have that contrast between West Side Gun's verse where he's still talking about like my homie dropping bodies for no reason, and then you have Conway the Machine like getting over getting shots, and how you have kind of two ends of the spectrum, somebody that's like in that life and knowing that there could be consequences, and then somebody that is on the other side of those consequences and what that can do. So the fact that like in this verse we have still a lot of these like implications, that sense of danger, it's heavy, right?
Right. Yeah, totally. It's it kind of in a way serves as a cautionary tale too, like, because Pop Smoke, he was I was reading an interview with, gosh, I wish I remember who it was, but basically Pop Smoke was saying in those last few months of his life that he was ready to like turn things around. He didn't want to be part of gun violence. He didn't want to be part of the gang life anymore. And even after he died, his family, they announced Shoot for the Stars, a foundation Jackson had planned to create prior to his death with the goal of helping and inspiring inner city youth. Like, he's really looking to move beyond this type of language we're hearing from him in the song. So like, I feel like it's kind of poetic in that way that we are hearing that language. Like, we're hearing, because this is Pop Smoke, like this is his song, this is what he sings about, but it's also the kind of life he wanted to move on from, on an album where we have songs like Jonah, where we've talked about gun violence and how it can, just how it disrupts things. It all just feels cohesive and of one, that we hear him talking about the stuff here in the song, knowing ultimately that's what took his life. It's like I said, it's just very poetic and meaningful in that way.
Very sobering in a sense as well.
Yeah.
Which is why I think this is one of the most emotional songs on the album. Like, it as a song or don't, but this is a moment that is incredibly powerful for everything it represents and the way that it communicates with everything else on the album.
Totally. Mm.
So we go from that into the chorus again, just we made it, we made it, we made it, thank God that I made it. And the implications of that, you both have like the high and the low of it, right? There's the high of knowing that Pop Smoke, like in his lifetime, was feeling this sense of like, I made it. But then the pain of knowing that all of the momentum and potential he had got stolen from him. But then you also have the silver lining of like God and heaven, and that starts to counterbalance the sadness of that line, because if you're just looking at it in the physical, it is monumentally sad. But if you start looking at it in terms of the spiritual, you have that upswing again of like Pop Smoke celebrating like the transcendence.
Yeah. So, our favorite track in the album.
It's it deserves more praise than it gets.
Yeah. Although still, if you're measuring it up against everything else, like, it's not really a song. I guess it has like a practically a full verse, but it still feels like an interlude to me. Like, it feels like it's communicating an idea more than like a bunch of thoughts that add to the message of the album, you know? It's more of an accent to the album that kind of like pronounces a point, you know?
Yeah. I really like it coming out of Jesus Lord and New Again, where especially like New Again, we're talking about how Ye's asking to be made like whole, like once more, make me new again, make me new again. And then having the song like tell the vision, saying we made it, we made it. It's like, okay, like I wanted to be made new again, and now we finally made it to the point where I am new again. And then that leads us into that last arc from Lord, I Need You, Pure Souls Come to Life, No Child Left Behind. It really does serve as a great little transition, from the place we were just in, from Donda, Keep My Spirit Alive, Jesus Lord New Again, where it's just like, can I get my shit together? To like, yes, it's yes, I yeah. can, I did, and let's reach the end of this journey on this album.
Which is how I feel, Chris. Let's reach the end of Donda so we can stop talking about it.
I mean, we will never stop talking about it, but doing episodes on it. What, at this point, we have spent over 40 hours of recording hours on this album.
Recording hours, yeah. That doesn't include all the other prep that goes into it.
That is a lot. Okay.
By the way, Kanye, if you want to come on the show and talk about it for 40 more hours with us, we will happily do that.
Oh, yeah. We'll go through the whole season, once again, the whole album, line by line, with you at our side.
I would. I absolutely would.
Absolutely. Yeah. No hesitation. Well, maybe some hesitation, but no hesitation.
I'd take some convincing.
Okay. Just like a moment of like, you should do this. And it's like, okay, I'm convinced. But yeah. All right, then. Well, until next time.
Yeah. Until we get to, what's the next song? Lord, I need you. Well, Lord, I need you all to keep it wavy.
I can't imagine how long he's been waiting to say that. And I keep it loopy.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.
Eine Show, die ihresgleichen sucht. Willkommen in Hogwarts. Bei Harry Potter und das verwunschene Kind live in Hamburg. Erlebt die achte Harry-Potter-Geschichte mit Magie, wie ihr sie noch nie gesehen habt. Jetzt Tickets sichern, im Sommer bis zu 30% günstiger. Muggel unter 18 sparen sogar 50% auf harrypottertheater.de.